express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art in the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly programming covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography. Right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art in the Air. Our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breitinger. Hey, if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in our historic building, you can call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. We'd like to thank them both for their generous support. We always like to pay a shout out to Greg Kovach. He's WVLP's station manager for getting us and keeping us on the air. By the way, Art on the Air is now supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Art Project Grant that came through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. So thank them for supporting our show. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, or appear as an artist, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And our program, along with all the programs, are streaming live at WVLP.org. Art in the Air is rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. And you can hear our entire show archive for the entire time at Breck. That's BRECH.com/AOTA. And we also there have placed our detailed arts events calendar there, so we don't have to read every hyperlink and phone number on the air. You can find out there. By the way, our show is being carried on WIUN Red Hawk Radio at IUN. That's their closed circuit radio station. And that's what's going on there. By the way, if you're interested in looking for supporting this community radio station, we are always looking for individual listeners. Whether you want to support our show or station underwriters, we're happy to have you become part of the WVLP family. Esther and I especially would love you to support Art on the Air.
That would be so excellent.
Yes, we're looking to expand our support. We'll read your information on the air as an underwriter at different levels. You'll also read it throughout the broadcast day. You can find out more about supporting us at WVLP.org/support. And like I said, every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting this station. By the way, one other way you can support the station today is our community hog roast. It's our fundraiser for WVLP. That's happening July 12th today at 4 p.m. And it costs us $20. But the real bargain is if you bring your kids 12 and under for free, they can eat for free with a paying adult. So we're at the Butterfield Pavilion. It's the intersection of Calumet and Evans here in Valparaiso. And we'll have live acoustic music. You'll get to meet the house. I know I'll be there for a while. I don't know, Esther, if you can.
You know, I was going to, but I've got rehearsal for the fashion show at that same time.
All right, so you're not going to be there. So half of the Art on the Air team will be there for a while.
The best half will be there.
No, we're a team. Maybe we go together, you know. Don't want to sing it because we'll have to pay a fire. Anyway, you'll get to see that. There'll be side dishes, beverages, and things like that. But this fundraiser is crucial to this station in many, many ways. It helps support our ongoing mission. As you know, most of the people here are volunteer, and they put their time in because they love what they're doing. So that's a great way to do it. So make sure to come out to the Hog Roast today. You can buy tickets probably at this point when you show up, and we'll be happy to entertain you there.
Yeah, so most definitely.
Well, when I'll move on to the arts calendar. So I'm going to start with Porter County. Valparaiso University Center for Arts Brower Museum continues with Corey Hagelberg exhibit, No Beauty Acquisitions, and also the exhibit by Brabant Lentling. They just had their gallery talk early this week. I couldn't attend because I had a board meeting somewhere else. So, well, I guess I'll do this one. This is kind of really self-promotion of all kinds. The Village Gallery at Pines just finished with Kathy Loss Rathburn. She just took her exhibit down yesterday, and after this radio show today, right at 12 o'clock, I'm driving over there to install my new exhibit, which is Nostalgic Structures and Scenics. and they'll be running for the until mid-August. And on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. at Pines Village, you can come by for a little gallery talk. And if you're not sick of hearing me on the air, you can hear me in person talking about my exhibit. So
congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's kind of fun. Chesterton Arts Center will open. They have a new exhibit that's in July, but they'll have the official opening tomorrow on Saturday, July 13th. It's Deborah Szymanski, Sharon Goodall, and Susan Braunleiter. The exhibit's called Captured Moments. And of course, I've seen a couple times, been in there with board meetings, things. A great exhibit, some unique art. One thing about Deborah Szymanski's work is it's sometimes almost photorealistic. You look at it and say, is this a photo that's just printed on canvas, much like I do? No, it's actually a painting. But she does other things, and the rest of it's wonderful. So they'll be running through there. Mark Vanderwein continues with his night critiques every first Wednesday. Herb Helm Watercolor Workshop. There's a two-day watercolor workshop, Monday, July 29th and the 30th. They go from 9 to 4 each day, and they're taking sign-ups. You can check the web links. Lorena Jorenzi will be teaching 2 4-week workshops there, August 10th. The first one is Prismacolor Pencil, and these will be like 4-hour workshops, and the second is oil painting, so you can find out information about that. The Art Fair, by the way, the final thing is July 15th sign-up. So if you still want to go out and exhibit at the Art Fair, they have usually about 100 vendors and at least 3,000 attendees. It's a two-day fair. It runs August 3rd and 4th, so July 15th is the absolute deadline. There's also a call for volunteers. If you'd like to come out and volunteer, you get in to see the stuff for free, by the way. But we're looking for volunteers for Chesterton Art Fair. You contact. All that information is on our events page and things like that. And by the way, in the fall, they're also looking for some new instructors for their classes. So they're expanding.
It's an excellent art fair.
It is. It's really a happening in here. By the way, moving on to Art Barn, they are continuing with a free family workshop on July 20th. You can see the current exhibit in there, but that will be a totally free event from 1 to 3 p.m. on July 20th. They invite children, adults. You can make little paper beads, materials, and they'll teach you that. It's all free, so it's at the Art Barn. Information on our webpage. Depot Museum and Art Gallery. Well, they have a new opening. That's going to be tonight, which is June 12th, 5 to 8 p.m. I'm going to try to shoot by there after the hog roast. Karen Brown will be there. We've had her on our show. She'll be talking about the repeating elements of balance, movement, and rhythm. She incorporates interpretation of pattern, and she's collaborated with Alan Spaeth, and he does, well, I guess you call it garments, but artistic garments. He actually designs uniforms and things for shows and color guards and things like that. So you can see that exhibit. And then at the Ellen Fermi Gallery, Firm Gallery in Pastel Drawings, Kellen Firm is going to have a new drawing and sculpture exhibit opening also on July 12th, 5 to 8 p.m. So just down the street from the depot, you can hit 2 different exhibits. And
yeah, and Kevin is, oh my gosh, he's so brilliant with those pastels.
So that's all we have in Porter. And that's all we have no knowledge of in Porter County. We know that.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah, but LaPorte County's got a lot, and Esther's going to take you there.
No, but that's like, please use our email to let us know what you're doing, because there's much more going on that we can't find and we'd like to know about.
And we'll put it on our arts events page.
Will.
Well, take it away.
All right. LaPorte County, the Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte at 822 Lincoln Way. Their exhibit is Rush. The Dune Summer Theater at 288 Shady Oak Drive in Michiana Shores is showing Other Desert Cities. And as Larry just said, all the details can be found on the, can you give them the?
Sure, it's Breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. Click on the link, Art Events.
Yes, thank you. Lubeznik Center for the Arts, their new exhibit is the Chicago Imagists Before and After, and that runs through October 19th. And in the Area Artists Gallery, Larry Breckner and Nathan Biancardi are, they have their small, they're in the small room, the Area Artists Gallery. Their exhibit is there until the end of July. Southern Shore Art Association, and their gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street, and their new exhibit is Opposites. And that runs through the end of July as well. SFC Gallery is at 607 Franklin Street and is showing the work of Michelle Weiser. Sunday, July 14th at Bling Contemporary Art and The Nest. It's the Movable Art Feast. And that will include Blink's current exhibit, Artists Do Artists. So there will be several of those artists who will discuss the nature and the inspiration and the influences of that work in that exhibit. They'll be drawing, painting, sculpture, photography, video, and fur shoes. Questions answered, secrets revealed, mimosas and munchies served. And then we move to the Nest at 803 Franklin Street, and Joel Brussel will be there talking about his exhibit, The Somewhere Else of Being Here. And he takes all of his photographs within about 4 or 5 blocks of where he lives, and it's all with an iPhone 7. So it's like so interesting. He's blown them up really big. They're gorgeous. The evening before, July 13th, Saturday, July 13th, is the soiree. It's a runway fashion show and after party, and it's at the Friendship Botanical Gardens at 7 p.m. Tickets are still available from most of the merchants down Franklin Street and through Eventbrite. And August 2nd, there'll be an exhibit opening at the Nest by Robert Serco called Me, Myself, and Eyes, and it's his recent work, and we'll talk more about that later. Robert's going to be our guest in a few weeks, I think.
Yes, about 2 weeks.
So that'll be in 2 weeks. Boy, it's coming so fast. I better start spackling and painting on the walls again. Every third Saturday, July 20th is the next one, is the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent.
Da-da-da-da-da.
And ongoing, we also have Drum Circle every second Thursday, and there you go. Now that's it for LaPorte.
And Drum Circle is very therapeutic.
It is therapeutic.
Yeah. You think about something and beat on it, and then it gets all the frustrations out.
Well, what's really cool is that it's not just drums. We have somebody who comes with a didgeridoo and like drum. They're like, this one guy comes with 5 different drums. It's just amazing. And rattles and, you know, dancing and singing. And it's quite,
it's all at the Nest.
It's quite exuberant.
They're on Franklin Street. You can see, you meet Esther in person. Well, we'll move on to Lake County, 119th Street Artists at the Cornerstone Art Gallery. That's located in the Centennial Bank at 119th Street and New York. Their final exhibition, Concepts and Compositions, will be running all July through August 3rd. The artist reception is Friday, July 12th, which is tonight, from about 6:30 to 9 p.m. Yes, I'll be there after I do the hog roast and the other one. This is going to be a crazy
You're
day.
Putting in those miles. You should have like a frequent flyer card.
I guess,
something.
Yeah.
Gas replacement.
There we go. I don't think we can do that at WVLP, though. But anyway, 119th Street Artists, you can find out information there. They have only one exhibit after that, and it's for Sarah Pete Connery. And then they're out of that space. Studio 659, Metropolination. They haven't set the exact opening date, but that's coming up later this month. They'll be in there for 2 months, and that's going to be an exhibit about plants, trees, flowers, and everything. That also is in Whiting. Information's on our website. South Shore Arts, registration for a 2-day bookbinding. The class is actually, that already passed, so I guess we can't do that. It's actually July 13th and 14th, so it's this weekend, July 13th and 14th. I think you can still sign up, contact them there. At the Bachman Gallery, their main gallery, Renee McGinnis, Tales from the Biosphere, and that's going to be running through August 25th, and a very vibrant exhibition. The Atrium Gallery, Bob Palmieri, Straight Shooters Photography, and that's through September 8th. Toll Theater, Andrea Decker, or Aniko, she likes to go by, Between the Real and Imagined, and she'll be having a reception also Friday, July 12th. Boy, this is like the second Friday is like a big deal, too.
I know.
You can see her work there. The submissions for the 76th Annual Salon Show are beginning. The Salon Show will run September 14th through November 10th. Yes, I'm going to try to get in that one. It'll be curated by David Clayman, who's a professor and dean of the School of Arts at IU Northwest. So you can find out information about that, again, from our website and there. 61, an exhibit celebrating the 61st National Park. If you didn't know, that's our own Dunes National Park. That's at the Welcome Center, I-80-94 and Kennedy Avenue, and it has a whole wide things. They have like 12 trail stops with Hoosier Prairie and Little Calumet River and a whole wide things. Find out a whole bunch of information again on our web link or go to the Welcome Center. Miller Beach and Creative Arts, In Her Own Style, Robin Feely, who will be having an opening reception again Friday, July 12th from 6 to 9 at Miller Beach Arts Creative District. Robin is one of the original owners of the Miller Bakery Cafe, has returned to the region with her special portraiture and other types of things. So you can see her exhibit there. South Lake Artist Co-op. We like to call them Slack. In fact, they like to call themselves Slackers. I actually have exhibited with them also. Their newest exhibit is a texture at the Sips Coffee House in Crown Point. They're only found on Facebook, and you can see their work there. They also have a brand new exhibit called China Cat Sunflower at Sip Coffee House 2 in Crown Point. Calumet College is still in Whiting, is still looking for full or part-time professors or art teachers in their thing. They're looking for one art faculty member for digital studio arts and a full-time faculty and director of digital and studio arts. Information on there. And the final thing for Lake County that we have here before we talk to our guest about what she has coming up, so is Between You and the Eye. It's going through August 16th, the photography exhibit by Felix Mondolando by the Hammond Development Commission on Holman, and it's by non-area photographers. So there you go. That's what we have going on in the area. Again, if you'd like to get your information on our thing, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And again, we'd like to think you're listening to Art on the Air 103.1 FM and also on Red Hawk Radio, WIUN. So there we go. Well, we're going to have our exciting guest today.
Very
who's going to talk
so.
About something new. We have Dawn Stokes on. She's from Crown Point. She lives in Crown Point. She grew up there and everything like that. But she's going to talk about some of the things that are happening there. She graduated from Crown Point and attended in Fashion Institute in New York. And we're going to have her talk all about herself. So welcome to the show, Dawn.
Welcome.
Thank you, Esther and Larry. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about your personal history. Let's talk about you grew up in Crown Point.
I did. I grew up in Crown Point. My parents still live in the same house that I grew up in, just west of town. And graduated from Crown Point High School in 1987. And left, went to New York City, vowing never to return. I stayed in New York a year, studied advertising, and then returned because it's where I wanted to be.
Yeah, a lot of times we have people that leave Northwest Indiana kind of saying hate it and then find out that you know, this region is sort of unique in many ways. We live in the shadow of Chicago, and yet we have a lot of things going on here that's unique. So
Absolutely.
So then you studied that. You came back and...
I went down to Purdue, down in West Lafayette, and was studying communications, advertising, PR down there, and got the wonderful opportunity to get an internship at Star Plaza Theater in the late 80s, 1989, and then transferred my education up to Purdue, Cal at the time, Purdue Northwest now.
And we were trying to sift through, see if we had had any classes together when I was working on my master's degree, and it's quite possible
we could have. We had some of the same professors.
Yes, we did.
So though you went to New York for fashion, what type of fashion, and how did it lead then to communication?
Well, I studied advertising there.
Oh, okay.
I really don't know. My junior year of high school, I just became fixated on New York City, and so I went there to school. My parents were... I think about it now that I have kids that are college age. I can't imagine sending my kid away to New York City when they're 18 years old. And we didn't have cell phones then. Like, my mom literally called me on the payphone, you know, in the hallway. but I fell in love with New York City was what happened. So I studied advertising there. And, you know, all your professors there were people that were still in the business and in the industry right there in New York. It was a wonderful
experience.
It's so
exciting. It just vibrates off of it.
Huh? It does. And it was exciting. But I think I became a little homesick and missed maybe what my friends were doing down in Lafayette or Bloomington. And I mean, kind of a different world than
what
I was
the
down
visual,
there.
The visuals here are so beautiful. The landscape is so gorgeous and the people are so friendly.
Yeah. And then the internship really just sort of solidified my future. So,
yeah. So you finished Purdue with a bachelor's?
Yes. I had a Bachelor of Arts in Communications, Public Relations, Marketing, and kept working at Star Plaza Theater throughout that time, and then they hired me for a full-time job when I graduated, and I did that for a little while until I went on to Celebration Station that everybody knows.
Ah, yes. From Celebration Station. Well, One Star Plaza, what are some of the day-to-day things you did there?
Back in those days, I worked for a wonderful manager, Colleen, who was the director of marketing there at the time. Mm-hmm. So mostly I worked in the marketing department at that point. And another wonderful woman, Monica Montella, for those that might remember her out there, she did PR. And so I was very fortunate. I mean, some of my first days on the job, I went to the airport and picked up Jerry Seinfeld and took him downtown Chicago to NBC and out to lunch and things like that. I mean, it was a dream job to get to spend your days, you know, with all these different artists.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Very good. And then you moved on to Celebration Station. So exactly what did you do there, and how did that happen?
Well, they had an opening there for a creative services manager, which really kind of handled the marketing assets for all the different locations around the country. Because what a lot of people didn't know in this area is that there was a Celebration Station in Merrillville, but there was also 13 of them, other ones around the country in places like Texas and Florida and Tennessee. So I traveled around meeting with all those different marketing and sales departments, kind of going through their different assets. And that was a fun job too, to be in your early 20s, traveling around the country and going to places like New Orleans and gosh, just everywhere in Florida. So it was a good time for sure.
You know, with these in different locations, did you find maybe there were slightly different cultural things that worked like in one location that didn't work in another location?
Oh, absolutely. Well, everywhere you went, there was some different, you know, we would work on different promotions, and it would, I can't think of any right off the top of my head, but there were always really unique promotions in the South, something very different than obviously that would work in Northwest Indiana, but it worked for them.
Okay, very good. But then you didn't stay with them. You made a return to...
I did. I was there for about, I guess about a year and a half, maybe a little over a year, and I had a harrowing experience on a private plane one time, and that kind of made me like, oh, I don't want to get on private planes anymore. But I did. But I came back to Star Plaza Theater. It really was, you know, where I got my start, and then I started working in the executive office there.
And so what did that entail? Because well, that leads to where
you're
now. And
was it the same? Was it the same group of people, or
it was pretty much the same group of people that were still there from my internship? Yeah, really, all the same people. Mark Bishop was a general manager and just an amazing man to learn under and learn all about concert promotion and theater management, and yeah, it was learning all that. I mean, at that point, I learned every aspect human resources to backstage. I mean, really every aspect of the theater I learned at that point.
How exciting, really.
Yeah, it really was. I stayed there for many years and really just took it all in. And I do remember Mark one time saying to me, like, you ask a lot of questions. And I did, because to me, even at my age now, if you're not asking questions, you're not learning.
I used to give talks, and one of the things I said, you have to be the eternal student.
Absolutely.
I always tell them, and this is mostly college age kids still in college, I said, you know, the thing is you think that, you know, what you graduate with, your degree, your bachelor's degree, something, you've got it done. I said, no, the degree teaches you how to learn as a lifelong learner. So, and I said, life is much more, not like a road, is much more like a fast moving stream, and you never know what shore you're going to end up on. So this skill that you had, you never knew, like, well, take photography or me, you might end up being, that's going to be a thing. You don't plan life. So taking in stuff like that's
absolutely
great.
Absolutely. Well, I always say, everyone is tired of me saying this, that I think that education is wasted on the young, because I think that now, you know, certainly at this age, and one of my friends and I talk all the time about, you know, going back to school now. And you and I were just sitting here talking about me going back to school and getting my master's, because I'm just so fascinated by it all. I was in my son's room the other day, and he's in college studying sports management. And I think he was like going to get rid of his books. And I'm like, no, I'm taking them. I'm
sure.
I want to learn from them. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
always.
Whatever you can soak in, you know, it builds your credentials and things. So, what are some of the acts you work with at Star Plaza?
Oh, gosh. I know. All of them. Okay. I mean, you spent a lot of time there, Larry.
Yes, I did.
all of them. I mean, most memorable probably are people like Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. I will never forget the day, you know, after a performer performs, you know, you have to pay them. And Mark was, I think, out of town, or it was Mother's Day or something was going on. And so that was my job that day. And to hand over cash to Johnny Cash was really sort of amazing. And I mean, I was so sort of nervous about it because I was young. I was like 25. Yeah, I didn't even get a picture with him. I got his autograph, but I didn't get a picture. And that's what have been one of my biggest regrets, that I never had a picture with me and Johnny Cash. So him, Aretha Franklin, really into country music in the 90s when it was really getting hot. So,
right.
Tim McGraw. I mean, just so many. I mean, really.
So did you get to view the concerts as well? Or were you so busy during that time you didn't actually get to experience the concert?
I mean, I don't think there was ever a concert we had that I was there for that I didn't at least take in part of
some
it.
Some of it? Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Got it. Even ones that I thought, like a most memorable one were the Gypsy Kings. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
The Gypsy Kings are still around, but... you know, it was probably a downtown Chicago show, really, as opposed to a Northwest Indiana play. But we got them at the Star, and it was sold out. And just an amazing show. And I remember thinking, oh gosh, I don't want to sit there. I didn't move, and I stood and danced the whole night. It was so exciting.
Dawn and I were talking before we went on air about how both of us, because of our backgrounds, aren't really great audience members.
No, we're not.
I feel like I should be on a headset talking, you know, calling cues or doing something. Yes. Or
I don't even, like my gallery being small, I don't get to really experience it because I'm running all around and taking care of things. So
absolutely.
Was there one person or something that just really struck you as...
Oh, gosh. Actually, there's just so many. I mean, again, I told you Johnny Cash. Oh, another one is in the early 90s. I was a huge Randy Travis fan.
Okay.
All those country people out there. And that was definitely, I was never really nervous around stars. I mean, I was paying Johnny Cash, but otherwise I was never really starstruck.
Right.
I was around Randy Travis because it was just, you know, you listen to the music. And at that time, I think his music meant so much to me, really listening to the lyrics. And I was just so nervous to meet him. And Jerry Seinfeld, spending the day with him was certainly entertaining. You know, he gets off a plane and people in the airport are coming off to, and that was right before his show on TV really hit its popularity. I mean, I think it was just beginning. So many of the comedians, gosh, I could think of probably dozens of them.
Yeah, it's a great experience. Well, you know, the thing I find with true celebrities that are professionals is they're really great people offstage.
Yeah. Yes.
With maybe a very few exceptions in my career, I've run across a few that are maybe a little pain, but they're in the minority. Most of them are very kind. And I remember working, I can't remember who said that. It said, oh, they love coming to the Midwest because the people are so much nicer and everything like that. Did you ever get caught with the thing about all the green M&Ms in the bowl?
So, yeah, the writers that are attached to the contract are interesting sometimes. I mean,
we're talking about technical writers.
Yes, technical writers that will list all the technical requirements for the show, lights and sound, but then also catering needs, backstage needs. I mean, at the Star Plaza, we crossed a lot of those things out.
Mm-hmm.
But it is always funny, the things that, and definitely, I mean, sometimes it was very particular candy. I want cinnamon Jolly Ranchers. All right, well, those aren't really easy to find anymore. You know, things like that. So
you have to buy a mixed bag. Well, the joke behind that is that, and there's a reason some of them do that, is they say we want only green M&Ms in our booth. Mm-hmm. So you have to go buy M&Ms and theoretically pick them out. And I remember when I worked for the center, before I actually worked there full time, they got snagged on that and they actually did it.
Oh,
and I told him, I said, no, you don't do that. You know, you say you pick out the green one.
Right.
And also I remember when working with the Chieftains, they came in and they had very specific ales and things that they wanted from Scotland that were all imported. And of course at the center, they were like, oh yeah, we got to get that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the theory behind it is this, is that if you do the green M&Ms, that everything else in the tech writer will be okay. That's nice in theory, but you know
you've
what?
Read it. You've actually read it.
And you have that. So, but yeah.
Yeah. We just crossed a lot of that out.
Yeah. Well, after I got to the center, I did too. I would call up their road managers. Okay, we're not going to do this, and this.
Yeah. Some of it's a little.
The only one I ever got snagged on was with when we had Ray Price come in, and they had, and you know, the Center for Performing Arts, a very small venue, and they had a stadium-sized sound system. So I said, you know, you're paying, we're 400 seats, and it's only 7 rows away. Oh no, we have to have that. I said, well, all the front end stuff is no problem. And said, no, we absolutely have to have that. So I talked to my boss and I said, well, they absolutely insist on it. So we did it. Ray showed up and went, what the is this? And I went right to the guy was standing there, the road manager. I said, this guy here told me you absolutely had to have one. And I think he got chewed out for that because it cost us a lot of money. I think it cost us well over 10 or 15 grand for that size assistant. And it was ridiculous. You saw these big, huge columns.
It's crazy what they asked for. I mean, you know, and a lot of them, especially the country acts or the bands, you know, they'll ask for, you know, dozens and dozens of bottles of liquor and things like that. Well, number one, we don't really want you drunk on stage,
no.
But yeah, they're quite entertaining to read.
Yes, it is. So that's what we're tech writers and everything. Anything else unique that happened when, you know, working with the acts there? Any last minute thing like someone showing up late or?
Oh gosh, that was standard.
Standard?
I mean, that happened with a lot of the shows that I mean, I definitely remember shows where Mark Bishop would be on the phone with the limo driver when the act was supposed to be on stage and the act just got off a plane and was at O'Hare. I mean, that happened often. It really did. And those were always kind of fun times, and you drug a show on, or you know, you had somebody stall, that sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
But lots of those things are coming in at the last minute. I mean, you know, there are a comedy of errors of things. You know, lights going out in a storm one time. I mean, Then there was the fire that one year.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't there then. I wasn't there, but there was a year that the curtain caught on fire.
Yes, I remember reading about that. I wasn't there either and everything, but yeah. Wow. Well, we're missing the Star Plaza venue. By the way, you're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and we're streaming on WVLP.org, and you can listen to us live. And also, you can hear the show later at BRECH.com/AOTA. And we're talking to Dawn Stokes today, and we're talking about her experiences at Star Plaza, but there's even more, and we'll talk about it. Let's connect you to one of the acts that was there, and you're connected with, and we'll get on to like what you're really involved with them, but Under the Street Lamp.
Yes, Under the Street Lamp. So after I took some time off to raise my two beautiful children, Ben and Chloe,
and I'm still raising them.
Yes. I'm still raising them. They're 15 and 19. And the 19-year-old needs even more raising.
Oh, yeah. That's well, you'll find out in about 3-4 years that it's like all of a sudden you now are very knowledgeable. Right now, it's like, you know, you don't know anything.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling that. Yeah. But yes, after I took some time off to do that, I came back to work. I worked for a brief time at the Crossroads Regional Chamber of Commerce. But then I got the call to come back to Star Plaza Theater and work directly with Under the Street Lamp, which for those that aren't familiar with Under the Street Lamp, they were the former Jersey Boys. The four original members were Jersey Boys in the Chicago production of Jersey Boys. And when their time there was finished with that, they decided to go on and just keep making music together. And they called themselves Under the Street Lamp, and they started playing clubs and venues around Chicago. And Star Productions, the production company that was at Star Plaza Theater, started managing them. And they had a PBS special that was just a huge hit, and have gone on now and done 3 PBS Pledge specials and 1 special that you were involved with,
right,
Harmonies for Healing, that was a general programming special for public television. So yeah, I was involved with them when I was still at Star Plaza. And then when Star Plaza came to an end in 2017, they made me a partner. So I am partners with the Under the Street Lamp gentleman now. We've changed a few of the original members out to new members, all with wonderful Broadway credentials and just an amazing group of men. And we travel around the country and do their thing. And we're on Spotify and everywhere you can get music.
Well, and you actually manage them.
I do. I think now we call myself the operations manager. Mm. I stay at home when they all travel around.
Right. You're not road managing.
No, I'm not road managing. I try to get to as many shows as I possibly can. I think the last one I went to was in St. Louis. But yeah, I stay back and work with the agency and work with all the different venues and do that sort of thing from home while they go on.
Do you find working with them is like herding cats sometimes?
No, they're pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, we have some text chains and email chains, and we just, you know, with communication the way it is nowadays,
sure,
you know, I can send out a quick text to remind them of interviews. And
so they don't miss an interview.
I'm not going to say they've never missed an interview, but for the most part, I hope they're not listening right now.
Well, we hope they are, you know, because Dawn's saying you guys need to get your interviews. You know, that's good.
Set my alarm for the interview this morning. I guess
there you go. Well, we appreciate that. You got here extremely early.
So I know. I was impressed.
You got to see how the sausages were made here.
Yeah, that's great. How you make the donuts.
And then, you know, when you have a personnel change, how does that affect the group? I mean, you know, that type of music, especially, there's such a interwoven dynamics.
Yes.
It's a lot of it's a cappella.
Well, we have a 7-piece band,
right,
but they do a lot of doo-wop and things in there. And I will tell you this, I think that everybody ego-wise would like to think when they leave a group that it's damaged forever. but the truth is Under the Street Lamp is more about the show than about each individual.
Right.
Although during the show, each individual does their own thing, mm-hmm, and has their own song. You know, Sean's a tap dancer and David's the crooner and that sort of thing. Eric is the comedian and Brandon has this unbelievable voice. He does, my favorite song in the show is when he does Dunkashane because it's just perfect. And so when people have left, there really hasn't been a backlash. All the gentlemen that have left, I'm still in communication with and even working with some of them, and they're great guys, and they've gone on to do their own things. But it's really more about the show than
right,
the individuals.
Do you get to manage any of those that have left? You get to manage them?
No, they're kind of self-managing their careers.
Maybe they need to have your management? Maybe they listen.
Well, of course, I feel like everyone needs me to be managing their life, but I'm sure there's a lot of people, even people listening, saying no. But Yeah, I work with Michael Ingersoll in particular. He left, and he was one of the founding members, and he is now doing Artist Lounge Live.
Okay.
Which he does all of his own shows. He does a lot of, like...
Based out of where?
He's out of Chicago, and he has a lot of different Broadway performers working with him that do a lot of different shows, not impersonations, just a celebration of the kind of music that, whatever the genre is, that, like, he has a woman that does Patsy Cline and Nat King Cole, and then his wife, Angela Ingersoll, is just an amazing singer and actress, and she does Judy Garland, and she even has a Judy Garland show that is just amazing. Yeah,
fantastic. So. Now, is there any other acts like that? Is it just Under the Streetlamp you manage, or?
I have been working with, and maybe you'll remember, Gentleman's Rule. Gentleman's Rule is an all a cappella group. They were fashioned out of what Straight No Chaser out of IU. Mm-hmm. Gentleman's Rule came out of the IU a cappella program as well. And we did a PBS special with them at Star Plaza back in 2014. And they toured some. Now they're kind of all doing their own thing. But once in a great while, I'll bring them back together to do a show. They've been doing a few things around the country. I really enjoy their music.
Oh, I know. I've seen that.
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah.
And I remember Phil Ponce's son was part of that for a while.
Yes, Dan Ponce was in Straight No Chaser, for sure. And he also was integral in getting Gentleman's Rule together. And I think he's all out of that now. And now
yeah, he's doing news
online.
Now. Yeah. Yeah, he's doing WGN News. Yeah. So I guess I can't do both. You know?
No, probably not. It's hard to do the news in Chicago and travel around the country.
That's for sure. Yeah. So any future prospects you're looking to manage, or you think you got a full plate with that? Not talking about your current project.
I think I have a full plate with Streetlamp, although I would never say no to probably just about anything. But yes, what we're doing now in Crown Point is...
It's going to be so big.
Yes, and it's taking a lot of time and energy, which I love. But yeah, I think that's good.
Well, and let's talk about what's going on in Crown Point. This is really a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It is the new Crown Theater.
It is. It is the new and improved and refurbished Crown Theater. Brad Strom is the owner CEO, and I met Brad. He was our F&B guy at Star Plaza Theater, and he actually came to me. Well, for those that don't know, the Crown Theater, you know, used to be a movie theater in Crown Point. It used to be called the Palace Theater many years ago, decades ago, and it was closed down. So it was movie theater, and then it had been closed down, I think, for over a decade. And, you know, people had tried to come in there and refurbish it, and it never really happened. And Brad, before Star Plaza closed, came into my office one day, I will remember it so vividly, and said, I think I'm going to buy the Crown Theater, and I think I want to make a go at it, and can you be involved? And I said, absolutely. And, you know, we got through the closing of Star Plaza, which was so tough. Mm-hmm. And then he has been working on renovating this building that is just going to be amazing when it's done. It really, and just such a great, I don't know, kind of a diamond in the rough there in the world of theater, and something for people to come to for just live entertainment. There's mm-hmm. just not, you know, when Star Plaza went away, you know, a lot of people were like, well, there's the casinos. And people even thought the casinos did us in, but that is not true. We had a very successful final year, and it was just really the White family that had decided they didn't want to be in that business anymore, which is their prerogative. But there's not a lot of places to go. I mean, we want to do children's theater.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, where do kids now? I mean, you have to schlep downtown if you want to go to a lot of children's theater shows, and kids can't go to casinos, so... We're really excited about it.
Well, what I like is that his dedication to making it an excellent product.
Yes.
Right. It's just like a very good sound system, and just making sure that the quality is there.
Yes, absolutely.
It's very impressive.
Yes, and it is taking a little extra time. I'm sure people have seen that we have postponed our grand opening, which was going to be next Saturday, to a later time in August. But, you know, no, it has to be right. It has to be in a place where we're proud to have people coming in, and the performers can come there, and everything can be utilized the way it should be.
Right. You know, renovating the theater, you got so many things that you made it be, you know, behind the walls you don't know, you know,
right.
And all of a sudden installing a lighting system that's, you know, drawing all this extra power, and it's like, whoa, we weren't really set up for that. So yeah, it's a big
project. A 100-plus-year-old building.
Right.
So I mean, I just know in my own home that's 80 years old, the renovation that I've had to make living there the last 10 years. So
sure.
Yeah, that old building building. But it's so, he took it down to bare brick walls, and the ceiling is beautiful. He got rid of the drop ugly ceiling that was in there. Sorry. And it's beautiful. So I can't wait. I can't wait for everyone to see it.
How many seats will you have?
So what we'll probably do is, if it's a seated event, it'll be about 350 seats. If it's going to be a GA or general admission event, it'll be about 500.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe some of the, I mean, people nowadays are really familiar with going to like Joe's downtown or Joe's in Rosemont, where it's really standing room only.
Sure.
So for some of the country concerts, some maybe some rock concerts, that sort of thing, it'll be more of a standing room only on the main floor. Upstairs, there is a small, actually it's not that small, mezzanine balcony that has 50 seats, and then there's also a separate bar up there and an area for like VIPs, party room, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, so it sounds like we're really doing that. Now, with the grand opening postponed, your opening act is still coming, David Nail.
David Nail is still coming, yes, because... I think everyone just decided, well, the Taste of Crown Point is going on in Crown Point. The chamber originally did that for years and then stopped doing it this year. And I think there was a little bit of an outcry. So I was really happy that the Mayor Uran and the city decided to go ahead and do that. When I worked for the chamber, the Taste was one of the events I did. And it was a very important event to me because I really like to showcase the restaurants around the area, not just Crown Point, but all around Lake County for the most part is what comes in. But even some outside of that. And so that will be going on in the brand new Franciscan Health amphitheater there, or in the pavilion, the Taste will be going on.
Right.
And then the amphitheater, both Friday and Saturday, the Taste will be going on. The amphitheater will have acts that are free to the public on Friday and Saturday up until 6. And then we will turn the audience and turn the stage, and then David Nail will go on as planned, not in the Crown Theater, but there, right there in Crown Point, really across the street.
Right.
We'll go on at 7:30.
Very good. So people that plan to come see him can still see them.
They can still see him. Yes. We put something out there where if you are looking for a refund for opening night, you can get that. You can go to our Facebook and figure out how you can do that. It's info@crown-theater.com to get a refund for that. Or we're telling people they can keep their tickets for a soon-to-be opening night, because quite honestly, most of the tickets for opening night were sold before we ever even stated what the act was.
Sure.
People just wanted to get out there. So you can also go online and purchase tickets for the David Nail in Bulldog Park.
Okay.
So are they, what is he doing about the art? Is that going to change out sort of like a gallery, or is he picked like
who
at the theater?
Oh, at the theater? Well, Everything at Crown Theater was gone. I mean, there was nothing really there to save.
No, I know. Oh, but going forward.
Oh, like, going forward. Yeah. Oh, yes. Are you talking about the acts or the...
No, like the lobby or whatever.
Oh, well, the lobby isn't very big. The lobby isn't very big. And there is, right now, this interesting mosaic of some sort on the wall, but I believe that that's going to be covered up because that was not really part of it. But yeah, we have talked about different ideas as far as art, local artists bringing some artwork in there, whether it be photography or paintings. Would love to have some of that. So yes, like Larry. Congratulations on your exhibit, by the way.
Oh my gosh. I July's been the crazy exhibit month for me. It's
All crazy exhibit months for you.
But
July, you're all over.
Well, I'm trying. I guess you might say I'm a exhibitionist.
No.
So that sounds good. Yeah, that'd be a great venue to be.
Yes.
Well, it's nice about the position of the venue is there's not too many venues south of US 30.
Right.
And so that really does that. And, maybe not having the star plot. I know it's impacted the symphony to some degree.
Yes.
But, for years ago, and I like to tell this story, they were trying to figure out a way to do their concerts cheaper, and their classic concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, and I did this when I was at Munster, and why don't you bring your concerts to the several schools, Munster, Crown Point, and Valpo, that have big enough, and you can say, we're bringing the classical music into your community. Because as you know, the classic concerts, you had to block off because it looked like a few people out for coffee.
Right.
It wasn't like the Pops concerts.
Right,
it looked in that huge venue, it's like, many people here. And I said, you can come in a lot cheaper. I said, I could put you in my facility for like about 1500, with staffing and everything. I said, I know Star can't even come close to that. I think your minimum ticket was like about $5,000 at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I miss the symphony, though. I miss everything at Star Plaza, but I do miss the symphony there. I would love to see the symphony at Crown Theater someday. I don't know if our stage is big enough, but I would love to see that.
Maybe they could do a chamber concert.
Yeah, that would be great.
I mean,
great.
That's what I finally, when I was at the Center for Visual Performing Arts, talked them into doing a chamber series there. So
that'd be great. Brad really does want to bring a variety of entertainment. Like I said, some children's. All genres are open to come there. And he himself has booked some local acts, local comedians, local dinner shows and things like that as well. But we're going to keep coming with some of the national acts as well.
You're listening to Don Stokes here on WVLP 103.1 FM, Art on the Air, talking about the Crown Theater and what its future is and everything like that. So it's wonderful, and we hope you get in touch with that. So, Don, what are some of the acts coming up that you have? And I went through the list and saw some things you have booked. So what do you have coming up?
So, like you said, Dave and Nail, even though it is still presented by Crown Theater, Crown Productions, so that will be this or next Saturday, the 20th at Bulldog Park. And then we have Keith Anderson, another country star. He's been in the area before, but he's coming on Thursday, August 1st. In between that time, going back, we have comedian July 26th and 27th, comedian Rob Christensen is coming out. We have a lot of comedians. If you go to our website, you'll see there's a lot of different comedy nights. Not all comedians have been set yet, but a lot of different comedy nights to come out and enjoy. We have in August one of my absolute favorite shows ever. I don't know, Larry, if you ever got to see this at Star Plaza, the Fab Four.
No, I didn't see that.
So for years at the Star Plaza, we had a different Beatles group that right now is just completely lost my brain. I've left my brain. And, you know, great, definitely impersonators, but they actually sing and play the instruments. And then the last couple of years, we had the Fab Four. Unbelievable show. I mean, let's just face it, we can't go and see the real Beatles anymore. Yeah. And I was never fortunate enough to get to see the real Beatles. So this is, to me, the next best thing. They sound, the gentleman who started the group looks just like John Lennon, came from Liverpool, England, and they just put on an amazing show. They go through the decades of the Beatles, and they even with costume changes, and it's just an amazing show. I can't go on. A few years back, I took all my girlfriends there, and it was just so much fun, and I can't wait for it to be on the stage.
Did they do "While My Guitar Gently Weeps"?
They do everything, because then they do that too. They each individual Beatle kind of does a couple of their hits, kind of in a medley form.
Sure.
But it was amazing. So that is Thursday, August 29th. We have things like disco nights and ladies nights, like I said, some local bands coming along that everyone would like to see. And then I'm really excited about in November, and there'll be other dates that fill in too, you know, as we open. We'll get more aggressive with the booking, but in November we have comedian Tim Meadows, so really excited about that as well. That's you know, he's from SNL and from the Grown Up movies and lots of things. So
back to the Beatles thing, I remember working with two groups, American English,
that's the other band, and
British Export. So, and they do much the same thing, where they take you through the whole period of time.
And American English really was great. I just had never seen the Fab Four are kind of like Under the Street Lamp. They have PBS programming as well. And just, again, an amazing show.
Were they the ones that George Harrison's sister is involved with?
I'm not sure.
Because I got a call years ago from George Harrison's sister about a group like that.
Really?
And she said they are the real deal.
Yeah.
And she was kind of promoting them.
It's possible. They are the real deal. I mean, Fab Four, really, I urge everyone to come out for that show, because it was amazing at Star Plaza. Now even closer up, and the sound at Crown, I'm really excited about.
Yeah, smaller venues are sometimes easier to fill with sound too, and a really quality sound.
Yes.
So where can they find out information about what's coming up? Give us the website nice and close and twice.
The website is www.crown-theater.com. So www.crown-theater.com. They can go there for all of our shows. And then also our Facebook, Crown Theater Facebook, because that's where we have a lot of the links. We sell all of our shows through Eventbrite.
Okay.
And so that's where you can find a lot of the links for the upcoming shows.
And if an act wants to consider being being performed there, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can certainly email me at dstokes, D-S-T-O-K-E-S, at crown-theaterre.com.
And we'll make sure to put that on the events page so we can link to that. In fact, we'll have to get you to sending you our,
yes,
your stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we'll happily put it on the air.
Absolutely.
So that's great. So you're really excited about this project.
I'm very excited about this project. It's
well, it's so amazing for the region.
It really is. And it's my hometown. You know, it's remember when I said about half an hour ago that I moved to New York vowing never to return? Well, it's my hometown and I love it. And, you know, grown up here, raised my kids here. All my friends are here. My family's here. So it's just really exciting. It's two blocks from my house.
Oh, well,
so I
well there you go.
And you were mentioning the Sip Coffee House. That's where we do all of our meetings.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And so I just love everything about it. I think I'm gonna make my daughter be an usher. Not make her. She'll do it willingly. But
house staff. Yes. There we
go. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now you have something else going on in Crown Point.
Yes.
Yes. You're not busy enough. You decided to do what?
I decided to run for office, Larry.
Oh, wow.
I decided to run for city council in the second district, which is where I live. It also happens to be where Crown Theater is.
Well, that's appropriate.
So I work and live in the second district. But yeah, I made that decision back in February to run, and I'm very excited about it.
Okay, so you're coming up in the upcoming general election?
Yes, I ran unopposed in the primary, and so I won.
There you go.
And then, yes, in the general election, I will have an opponent, and he's been in city council, I believe, since the 90s.
Ah.
So I just thought maybe some new blood. Great guy, but I thought maybe some new blood.
And that's a nice way to hear.
So is it a district or a large?
A district. I'm running in a district, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice that you can say that about your opponent. You know, because we were talking before the show again about how local politics is where things really get done.
Yes,
so,
absolutely. And some, it really doesn't matter. We talked about this about local politics. If you're a Republican or a Democrat, it really doesn't. That's not how things are getting done.
No.
In the municipality that you live in. So I'm excited about it. I've been out there knocking on doors. Have a lot more doors to knock at, and myself and a contingency of about 20 of my friends and family walked in the 4th of July parade. And I think the last time I was in a 4th of July parade was when I was in high school and I was a cheerleader. So that brought back some memories. And then I rode on top of the fire truck. This was walking. But it's fun. It's fun to see all the citizens out and everybody out.
You need
it.
To get Ben and Chloe out there for you.
They were out there.
Oh, that's good.
They were
good.
Out there.
Yeah,
They were out there in their elect Dawn Stokes t-shirts.
Get the kids out there.
They were. They were.
So people in Crown Point, if you want to, we're not endorsing things because we're just a non-profit station, but Dawn is running for office. So, and if they want to contact you about that.
If they want to contact me, they can go to my Facebook, which is facebook.com. Is that a / or backslash?
It doesn't.
Slash
doesn't matter, actually.
Yeah, a slash. CP Second District. And they could also email me at dasdas@dawnstokes.com.
Yeah, I saw that you have a website that doesn't have anything on it yet.
Oh, I have a website?
Yeah, well, dawnstokes.com.
Oh, I don't really have a website.
Well, I mean, you have a web.
I probably have. I have a domain, I guess.
But yeah, you
I
have a domain. I was looking up your domain, and I thought, what are you searched on?
Yeah, I don't know. I realized the other day when I was giving somebody my email that I have 6 email addresses, and I'm on administrator for 4 Facebook pages. I don't think I can do anymore.
Okay. I know years ago, when internet was relatively new, I decided to buy my domain, but instead of getting Breckner.com, which was available, I got Breck, BRCH.com, which because in that day you typed it all in.
Yes.
There was no...
right.
And so to this day, I still have Breck, BRCH.com.
And here's the thing. I turned 50 this year, and when you're 50, you're not in that generation that understands all of it. So
really?
I don't.
I do. I'm a digital immigrant.
You must be younger than me.
Yeah, by 14 years. The other way.
I ask my kids or I ask the younger people I know how to do so. I mean, I try to learn, but I ask questions.
Well, asking questions is what it's about. So.
Yeah.
So with DAS Consulting, is that separate from all this or is it
No, that's
part
really
of it?
Separate. I started that because I had the pleasure and privilege, actually, Michael Ingersoll, who used to be an Under Street Lamp, introduced me to world-renowned photographer Todd Gustafson. And Todd was working on a documentary. He actually has several in the works, but one in particular about East Africa. And I met him, and because of my affiliation with Under the Street Lamp for all those years and working with PBS stations around the country, I helped him bring his documentary, To the Ends of the Earth, East Africa, to PBS and then around the country. Mm-hmm. And actually it's airing internationally now, which we're really excited about. But so I really started that business out of that. And then any other entities that I work with, like I said, Under the Street Lamp, I'm a partner. But when I work with Gentleman's Rule or any other companies, I do so under my business name.
Very good. Yeah. With Under the Street Lamp, do they have anything upcoming?
Where are they today? They are in Chautauqua, New York. I went there last summer for a baseball tournament. Beautiful part of the country if you haven't been there. Then I went to Niagara Falls, one of my favorite places. They're in Chautauqua, New York at the amphitheater tonight. They're traveling all around. They'll be down in Anderson, Indiana next weekend. And then I'm hoping that they'll be at the Crown Theater. If not sooner rather than later, they will probably be at the Crown Theater in December for a holiday show. And they do an awesome holiday show.
They still have the shark skin outfits?
They change their outfits a lot. When they do outdoor gigs, they have really, really cool outfits that they wear for that. But Sean is our resident customer.
There you go.
Yeah, he's the one that gets all of the outfits for the guys.
Yeah, I remember seeing them, and that seemed to be a trademark, both on the PBS special and such like.
Yeah, they get fancy suits.
Yeah, they get fancy suits. So very good. Now tell us a little bit about your cohort in this, the CEO.
Brad. Well, I should always let Brad speak for himself. Brad.
Well, he didn't come here today.
No,
he
couldn't because he's busy.
He's busy fixing the theater.
Theater done. And you should not take that as a
slight
to you
don't.
Guys
we
at
don't.
All.
We
no,
don't.
Not at all. Brad Strom, he grew up in the area.
Okay.
And his family, him and his wife Shannon, have two young boys, live in Crown Point, just a beautiful, beautiful family. And Brad, like I said, he was the F&B person at Star Plaza Theater.
Explain that to our audience.
Oh, food and beverage.
Okay.
He handled all the food and beverage. He worked for the Radisson for years when the Radisson handled the food and beverage for the theater. He worked for the Radisson for years, and then when the Radisson was torn down a year before we were, he came over and was actually a theater employee then and ran food and beverage for us there. Definitely knows what he's doing in that area. And honestly, I just think at this point, what I can say most about him is he's just a brave, brave soul to take this on.
Oh, sure.
It's a major undertaking, and you know how people are, especially on social media nowadays, you know, people get their digs in, and I mean, he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
And the theater will be opened, and it'll be open, and it'll be safe. You know, that's a big thing. So yeah.
I know I was reading some of his quotes from the Times article interview that he did, and how, what his vision is for that. And but it is scary because venturing into a theater venue like that,
yes,
and you know, capitalizing that.
I mean, listen, easily Brad could have not even done that and just went about his life.
Sure.
And it would be a lot probably easier than it is right now. But it's going to be great. He wanted it for the community. And the community, I think, is really going to be able to enjoy it once it's open.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the future for Don? Besides, you've told us about where we're at. What you want to work on your master's degree, maybe.
I do want to work on my master's degree. I haven't decided what that would be in, though. It's either going to be, you know, in something that I'm already doing, or maybe psychology or something.
There you go.
Something different. <It's>,
well, that would be natural because that's part of everything that you
right?
are
like,
doing.
I feel like I needed it already for raising children. But
yeah, there you go.
So do you have an art practice? Do you paint or do you do mosaics?
I don't. My daughter is a wonderful photographer. I have a feeling she might go to school for photography, but no, I don't. I'm really into music. I spend a lot of time listening to music, but I cannot sing. And I do not. I pretend to write lyrics in my own head, but that doesn't really count. But no, I probably should take up a habit of painting or something.
Yeah. If nothing else, the walls in your home, right?
Oh, well, I do that.
Okay. Well,
I have an 80-year-old house. I do that. I'm good at that.
Any final things, thoughts you have?
No, just thank you for this opportunity. I will definitely update you as we add more shows. So
yeah,
you can
because
put
you
them
do
out.
That at artontheair, WVLB, at gmail.com.
Yes.
That's where you can do that, and you can find out. And we'll put some stuff on our link page and everything like that. So anyway, I think we're going to wrap up today. Next week we have, what, Doreen Stelton? Tell us a little bit about what?
Doreen, she's, Doreen's so amazing. Her product is she's created So many people have sensitivities to chemicals and perfumes. Well, she's learned French perfumery techniques, but all with organic oils and organic essential oils and her blends. She's just a master blender. It's wonderful. And then personally, she does all the aerial work.
Like, I saw that in preparation for the show.
Excellent.
So she's on next week. So anyway, you've been listening to Art in the Air, and I'd like to thank Don Stokes here for coming
on. Thank
you
so much.
It's been a great time. Hey, we're heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast at Mondays at 5 p.m. With your hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Again, I'd like to thank Greg Kovach, our station manager for WVLP, for getting us on the air today. Underwriters for our show for Art in the Air is Valparaiso Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breitinger. By the way, we are supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant, so Art in the Air is supported by that and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related events or exhibit or appear on our show, you can't only appear, you can sit behind the microphone, you can email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And we talked about our guest next week, so right now we'll hear you next week here on 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone, and this will be
Billy and Renee Foster playing us out.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther.